This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, we have in the studio our next guest, yep. David. We've got Sarah Currow and Reverse Butcher here to talk about, a book, actually, which is that's just been released about a violin. Now, before we start talking about that in particular, Sarah, maybe we'd start off with a little bit about you. We just started to get a bit of background both of you.
Sure.
So how did you get started with the arts, and where did your love come from?
Well, I am part of a musical family. My father, John Currow, started a youth orchestra in the 60s, way back then, and my older sister is 7 years older than me, and I just wanted to copy everything she did. So she played the violin, so I played the violin. So I basically had a background in classical music. That's it.
But that's often, because isn't it rebelling that you don't want to do what a sibling's doing or your parents?
If you're close in age.
Right.
But she's seven years older, so yeah. I saw all the fun she was having and all the friends she made and all the concerts she played, so it looked like a rock star life to me.
Okay. And so you studied music?
Yeah, I started when I was eight.
Right.
And I've just been basically practicing ever since. And I play in the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra now.
Right. And and your dad would have been pretty happy that you were doing that?
I think I basically fulfilled any parent's expectations. I was a good kid. I practiced a lot. I had 1 year when I was 14 when I was a total rat bag, but that's it, just the 1 year. So, yeah, I think he was pretty happy.
Right. And so you play with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra now.
Yeah, now I do, yeah.
Is that a full-time role?
Yes, it's definitely full-time. We play so many movies and so many amazing concerts. So you either rehearsing or you're preparing, practicing for the next week. So
yeah.
It's kind of relentless.
Yeah. And are you travelling much with the orchestra?
Every year the orchestra does a music camp with students in Yogyakarta. And so a small group of us go, and they're like our family there now. We've done it for 5 years in a row. So MSO is always trying to make really meaningful relationships with people overseas, especially students and, emerging people, not just playing in the concert halls and then disappearing.
Yep. Okay. As you said, Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, there's so much variety that they're doing these days, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would have been just playing at the bowl at some stage too.
Oh, we're coming up to that, yeah.
You're coming up to it, yeah. Which is always fun, isn't it?
It Everyone is fun, unless it's 43 degrees because the lights on stage make it feel like 48 degrees.
Yeah, oh gosh.
But at least we don't have to wear our stockings when it's that hot.
Do you have to wear stockings?
We have
normally
to wear stockings.
I can't believe they still make you wear stockings.
How 19th century?
Yeah.
Well, that's a 19th century thing. That's
wow.
Fine.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. So, Reverse Butcher, hello.
Hi there.
And now you're an artist.
Yes.
You're the artist on this project and a poet.
Yes.
So, a visual artist and the poet on the project.
Yeah. I have a background in performance, mostly poetry and a little bit of music as well. So, but I've approached music from a totally different angle to Sarah. Sarah had an orchestral and a classical upbringing, whereas I sort of played with rock bands and experimental music. So it was a very exciting idea to try and work together on how to visualize music, because thinking about experimental sort of visualization of music, it doesn't necessarily have to be on lines.
And how did you two meet each other?
Well, you go first.
Okay. A long time ago, I used to work at Hares and Hyenas. And
right.
Sarah did a number of gigs in there, and she was just absolutely outstanding.
Oh.
We see a lot of stuff come through there, and so much of it is amazing, but Sarah is quite a player. You're in for a treat if you ever get to hear her with the MSO. We met her there, but we also sort of became friends through different poetry events that sort of were crossed with music.
So. Okay, now I'll tell the real story. And that was the polite story. The real story was I was quite scared of Reverse Butcher. Well, mainly because her name on Facebook was Reverse Butcher. I'm like, what kind of a name is that? I'm quite conservative. I'm from classical music.
And her necklace that she's got.
She wears this necklace all the time, and it still freaks me out.
Which is for obviously our listeners who can't. Explain it yourself.
It's like a brass skeleton hand that looks like it's choking my throat. But I just want to, like, be clear. It's made of brass, not the bones of my enemies. I am actually a nice person. It's just there to, you know, scare the creeps away.
Well, I know that you're a nice person now, but at the time I was quite intimidated, but I thought, wow, she's so cool. And I kept running into her at different places, and then one day I saw her doing some art in a novel, and I sat down next to her and I put my son in between her and I, because she's not going to hurt a child, is she? And so,
or the claw around her neck's exactly. Not going to.
And so I just started talking to her about it, and I realised, wow, she's just totally immersed in art and music, and what an amazing person, and how can I use her? Because I don't know if you remember from years ago when we had an interview, I want to find talented people and give them a really meaningful job to do and pay them. So I started thinking, right, she's got to paint a violin for me. This was after knowing her for a few years.
What, paint a violin?
Paint a violin.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Why?
Well, my husband, Paul Davies, makes these incredible semi-acoustic
now,
violins.
Now, he came in with you,
yes,
last time, and
right.
You went out for a drink. And I don't remember that all that well, but I do vaguely remember that we went out for
it
a drink.
It was years
afterwards.
Ago, I understand, yeah. And well, you two were inseparable, by the way. But anyway, couldn't get a word in. But, no, he makes these amazing violins, and it's not that I wanted to cover them up because they're actually beautiful. I just wanted to give Reverse Butcher a chance to show what she can do on a piece of equipment that I could continually use into the future. So it's like I'm a walking advertisement for what this amazing person
right.
can do. Because my whole philosophy is don't just commission someone, play the piece once, or put the painting in a drawer. I want it to keep on living and keep on having a life so that other people can see there are living people around us
yep.
who can create these incredible things instead of the background that I'm from, where we play a lot of old, dead, European, beautiful but kind of irrelevant sometimes music. So I just want to kind of balance it out by instigating these projects.
Right. And so what you've done is so the yeah, like the paint, the violin's been painted, and we'll get to the reason behind the painting soon. But you've actually done an e-book.
Yeah, all about this painting of this violin.
Right, and it's a tribute to your dad because he passed away last year, and you know, the music that he and the orchestra, the youth orchestra that he was involved in. Tell us about this ebook, and it's for sale. Is that right?
Yes. So it's available through Apple iBooks, and it's called "This Is Not a Violin; It Is a Doorway," and that is the title of the essay that Reverse Butcher wrote about the creation of this artwork on this violin. So she handed the essay to me in a bound copy full of these artworks that went on the violin, original drawings. And I just looked at it and I thought, we've got to publish this. This is beautiful. And then I met the publisher of some other ebooks that I'd seen and bought and thought were amazing, full of pictures and music clips. And I thought, oh, that's it. We have to make this book into one of those multimedia, sensory, crazy, wild, amazing experiences for people.
Mm.
So This Is Not a Violin, It Is a Doorway is the essay. And all the chapters in it is everything about my dad's youth orchestra, the music clips, Reverse Butcher's history, and it's just like a variety show.
Now, let's talk about the art that's on the violin. So how did you get the inspiration for the... 'cause how many pieces of art is there? There's separate pieces,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, there's nine. So
right.
Sarah, she was mentioning the book that I was drawing in when we were first met, and
uh-huh.
her son was looking at the book I was making. One of the things I do is altered books. So you take a book that already exists and then you sort of change every single page so that it's unrecognizable and you get erasure poems out of them. And she actually asked me, can you make this violin like that book? And I went, God, I don't know, but I'm going to try. And I asked her what her favorite piece of music was, what the piece of music that made her want to play music forever was. And this was the piece that
So The War Requiem by Benjamin Britten, written in the early 20th century,
mm-hmm.
all about the atrocities of war, and those themes are still relevant today, and the music is absolutely incredible.
And so what you did is that you, these nine drawings that you then painted on the violin, it was pieces of... No, you explain that.
Yeah, no, what I did was I listened to the War Requiem
yep.
on repeat for 12 hours a day for 2 weeks. And then I basically tried to synthesize what that music looked like. I wanted to make the music look how it felt.
Yep.
And it's like the graphic score is not something I've come up with. It was sort of like John Cage and a lot of other musicians, experimental. They sort of came up with this idea.
But it always blows me away too, because my brain and Neil, we're just, like the yobbos from the burbs, that we can't think that way.
You could. I reckon you could. I could show you.
Yeah?
You've just never tried,
You've just never tried. It's practice. Mm. I mean, I'm a self-taught artist. I never actually went to school to learn any of this stuff. And basically, I got through by asking questions and going to the library and reading things. And, the internet happened and then that was that. But, I basically just had to sit with the music and sort of say, how does this make me feel and what does that look like?
On that note, we'll come back and carry on this discussion. We're talking to Sarah Kuro and Reverse.
On Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Joy sponsor.
Now, we're talking to Sarah Kuro and Reverse Butcher, and I think Reverse is trying to explain to David that we all have a bit of an artistic side to us.
So that you couldn't paint or draw before you started to discipline yourself.
It was artists' books that made me sort of learn how to draw and paint.
I still don't think I can.
Well, 10,000 hours of anything.
10,000 hours.
And you develop a level of skill, regardless of, do you know what I mean? Like, and everybody's going to be good at something.
Of course.
You can't be good at everything.
Look, I did go to painting classes and after 4 weeks, I gave up.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, and it was sold. I found it quite soul destroying. I think that I was in too big a class. That was the other thing. There were about 15, 20 people.
And not everybody deals well with classes. I know I don't. If you put an authority figure in front of me, I'm like, mm-mm, no.
Well, maybe you're too hard on yourself, David. Maybe it's better than you think. You'd be too judgy on yourself, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway,
Sorry, you're right. Moving off the couch.
So you were listening to pieces of this music.
Yes. Yeah.
And then coming up. How long did each one take you to?
Well, we actually had a fairly tight deadline because we were working for a show. So the whole violin, I think I did finish in about 3 weeks. but there wasn't a lot of sleep involved. So I just basically, took the project on and motored towards the destination. But yeah.
And is it black and white or is there colour?
No, there's colour. So when we say painted on the violin, there are parts of the violin that are directly painted on, but there's also bits collaged onto it and whatnot. So it's very highly hypercolour. It's psychedelic looking. It's got words everywhere and then bits of words that sort of trail into gibberish. And
now, what do you mean by words? Where do the words come from?
Well, this was one of the main links between Sarah and I. We both love poetry. So this was my one of my main ins to understanding the piece of music that she gave me to sort of synthesize into a visual artwork. It had poetry in there, poetry by Wilfred Owen.
Uh-huh.
So that allowed me to sort of think about the structure of how it would go. I used cut-up techniques, which are...
I explained that.
It's a technique that was developed by sort of beatnik writers around the time of William Burroughs
Brian Gysin. Just cut a line out?
Yeah, I was mentioning erasure poems as well. They're sort of sister ideas. You take an existing text and you cut it up and you randomize it and then you put it back together and you get all of these other threads of sort of like psychology that are already in the text in your own interpretation. So it becomes a new work. But it's
using other people's
it's not recognizable. Work. It's you can do it to the phone book if you really want to.
I see.
And I have. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do something with a phone book.
Good luck. I know they're useless now. You. Apart from that. Yeah. But
although an auntie of mine still uses a phone book. And I think it's hysterical.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So wow. So you're following this whole story through on this ebook.
Mm.
Basically.
Yeah, we're talking about the process, I suppose, because I think we both think it's probably a pretty unique project. So there's not too many others out there that might have followed this exact process. So we just wanted to have something that people could look at. And, when Sarah plays the violin, she just gets so many questions. It's this thing that stands out on stage because it's this hypercolour thing that's, unusual looking. So, we just wanted something that we could explain to people what it was.
So how can we find out more about it? What are you doing? Do you have to go to
iTunes? If you have an iTunes Apple device, it's not through iTunes.
Okay.
If you've got an Apple device, you've got the little iBooks icon, which is the little orange book, and you just click on that and you search the title. This is not a violin, it is a doorway.
This is not a violin, It's a doorway.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have seen, I was saying, you know, black and white and all that for our listeners. I have seen the artwork. It is absolutely spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
and
David.
The violin looks absolutely beautiful.
You should hear
painted.
Her play it.
I could imagine.
And just before we go, one of our listeners just actually SMS'd us to say that they have had a look at the violin and find it absolutely amazing. And I really... Certainly right, and this is from Caroline, one of our listeners.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
So it was really, really amazing.
Aww, yeah, there you go. Beautiful. There you go. So what's it called again so people can find it? You go to...
Apple iBooks and search, "This is not a violin, it is a doorway."
Wow. Thank you so much for coming in. I can't wait for volume two.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.